Praise God. I call you blessed today, and I mean it. Welcome to the broadcast. Hey, I'm holding in my hand a hot topic, man. It's called the Ministry of Helps. That's what we're going to be talking about, teaching on, dealing with, preaching on, and imparting to you. The Ministry of Helps is probably the strongest, most powerful message outside of salvation that a Christian can learn. And if you're not a Christian, today's your day. You give your life to Christ. Invite Him to come live in you and get a hold of us. We'll teach you what to do from here. Hey, you can't do this on your own. And so let us help you. Call the number on your screen. Jump on the webpage bookstore. Or however you want to get a hold of us, there's multiple ways. We want to get this in your hand. It's a powerful message about how you can find the joy and the happiness of getting in your ministry, just like I found my ministry. And once you know your place in this great kingdom, you will shine, you will prosper, power will come to you. You'll be stabilized instead of wishy-washy. I'm serious about this. It's all got to do with you obeying God and being in the will of God and having God bless your life. I wish you'd write me and send your prayer requests. We pray around here. I wish you'd send a seed of some kind. Send a gift. Help us preach. We'll put your money to work. You got my word on it. Get your Bible out. Here we go. It's going to be awesome. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Amen on that. We're excited about the Word of God. I declared the month of September for Living Word Church and all of our affiliates as the Ministry of Helps month. So we're declaring this month Ministry of Helps month to teach, preach, pray. All of you in the Helps ministry, which is everybody, by the way. Just because you haven't signed up yet doesn't mean you're not called by God to be in the Ministry of Helps. Now, to catch us up for a minute, in our last time together, which here in the home church would have been Thursday night, we started this series and I taught on how God installed the Ministry of Helps in the church, 1 Corinthians 12:28. Yes, He also installed the apostle, the prophet, the healing and miracles so that we had that strength and et cetera. But we discovered that God placed and installed in the body of Christ the Ministry of Helps and administrations. That means you're gifted, you're called, you're appointed, you should be anointed. And we talked about this. I'm just catching you up so we can do part two of the series. You should feel as though you're calling God is as severe as anyone else's. The greatest apostle or the greatest prophet or pastor you've ever known, your call is no less. And because the spirit of the world has creeped into the church many times worldwide has corporate mentality, meaning business mentality, meaning he who gets paid the most or he who has the most authority or he who has the most friends in high places. He who is highest on the ladder of the pecking order must be the most important among us. But that's not the spirit of the kingdom of God. That's not the spirit of Christ. That's the spirit of the world. The spirit that belongs, and by spirit I mean the attitude, the spirit of the believer. The spirit that belongs in the house of God and in the army of God is that we're all equal. Now, we're not equal when it comes to accountability. That's the difference. Some of us will be held more accountable to Jesus Christ. All of us, as we discussed also in the last time together, will meet Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. Sinners go to the great white throne judgment. But you, me, we go to the judgment seat of Christ on judgment day. You won't escape it. No human being will. You will go there. So we understand that there's an accountability for your life. You must be accountable for your Christianity. I must be accountable for my Christianity. That's why the Bible says you and me, we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. There's a reason the fear, it didn't say happy hour in a bottle of beer. It said fear and trembling. because eternal damnation is a pretty severe issue, right? So we understand that some of us, the elders of the church, for example, or the pastorate, we are going to be held even more accountable. Because a Mark Barclay, I'm not only accountable to myself, to God for myself, I'm accountable to watch over you. That's why the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that you are, and me too in my life, you are to submit and obey those who have the rule. This is the ruler. That have the rule over you, those that watch over your soul, because they must give an account. Right? Paul said to a guy like me, do not covet to be a leader, a teacher, because we fall under a much more severe judgment. Now, it didn't say you weren't going to be judged of what you did with your call, but I'm going to be, a guy like me in my position, is going to be even more severely judged on judgment day at the judgment seat of Christ, that I did my duty to watch over you and to be ready to give an account on judgment day, however that works. Most scholars feel like I'll be called upon to give witness because Satan is trying to legally say you belong to him and get things in your life, vices, habits, sins, attitude, strife, whatever, so that he can legitimately, in his mind, say to Christ that you're not born again, you didn't live like you didn't. A guy like me will be called upon, your leader in Christ, to give an account. Satan will give a challenging account. They're not real Christians. Now, they attended some church, they gave some tithe, but look at all the crud that was in their life. But perhaps I'll be called upon to say, no, I knew Gray Chambers very well, and I watched him walk out his salvation with his family, with his ministry, and with his money. I was thinking about this morning. I really am going to read my verse in a minute. God installed you. Now, remember we used the duct tape illustration that years ago I got this first car of mine back when I was, whatever, teenager. And it didn't come with a radio. And we went, a friend of the family brought me a radio and a couple of speakers. But there was no hole in the dash to put it in. So I had to hang it underneath with some plumber strap and then tie it up in the back and then wire it, you know, because there was no, it wasn't installed by the manufacturer, by the factory. So somehow it had to be added on. And in those days, we didn't have the stuff we have today. You know, now you can pull your neighbor's car with Gorilla Tape or something, you know. But so we talked about how many people don't realize that God personally hand chose you and installed you. He's the manufacturer. He's the builder of the church. It's his church. And you're not just duct taped under some dash somewhere and floating around and flipping in and out. You may be doing that, but that's not your true call. God had you on his mind and you personally and knew you by name, just like he did Saul on the Damascus Road. Amen. Amen. And he installed you as part of the body of Christ. It's your duty and mine, through prayer mostly, and through studying the scriptures, and by submitting to leadership, you know, your ministry. So you can really define, what is my place in the body of Christ? And listen to me. Whatever, I'm going to read it to you in a minute. Whatever that place is, don't you ever make light of it. That's right. Don't ever make light of it. I don't care. One person said to me, Pastor, all I do, I come to church here, I pray, but really all I do is so I come out and I dust a little bit, and once in a while I run a vacuum cleaner. I'm going to help you with something. If that's what you feel called to do and that's what God's appointed you to do, first of all, somebody has to do that. Amen. And the less disciplined the church family is, the more sheep droppings we have at the end of the service. So the less they care and cherish God's house, the more work you have. But what if that was your appointment by Christ? Somebody's got to do it. Someone's got to do it as unto the Lord. Everything we do must be as unto the Lord, because we're doing it not just for him, but with him. Are you still with me? So everybody say this. I am installed by the manufacturer. I'm not some add-on. Amen. And that's the real truth about what you are and who you are. God puts you in the church. All right. 1 Corinthians 12 And I want to just grab a couple of verses for a minute. In verse 11, it says, but all these, speaking of the gifts of the Spirit, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man. Now that means human. Sometimes man means male and woman, female. But many times in the scriptures, man means a human, whether you're male or female. That's what this verse means. Dividing to every human severally, or you could say individually, as he wills or will. It's God's will. Say, I am trying to fulfill God's will. Say your name in Mark Barclay's life. That's what we're trying to do with all of our heart. Lord, what is your will for me, both in life in general, but also in the house of God? What's my ministry? What's my part? Because there is no verse for coming to sit and watch. You can't find I'm called to come and sit and watch everyone else enjoy their ministry. Every single Christian has been called by God, gifted by God, and wants to be used by God. God wants to use you in a specific way. When you take this morning, I started adding it up and then I got interrupted. How many different areas of ministry and service did this church have to do to number one, prepare for this service this morning? That's all the administration. You know, we do this little video announcement, but somebody proofed all those announcements, cleared them on the calendar, make sure they were all accurate, distributed them, proofed the video, did the video, presented the video, showed the video. And that's just one little thing that we did here this morning. And everything you look at around here takes multiple people, multiple time. And that's before we ever start the church service. And then if you start looking around, how many people does it take to take care of the nursery, run the nursery, take care of those babies, close the nursery, clean the nursery, sanitize the nursery, resupply the nursery, and open up the nursery again tonight? It's amazing. That's only one ministry. Amen. One ministry. And some people think that's just babysitting, you know, diapers and kids and crying and biting. But we've got testimonies where kids have been miraculously healed in that nursery. They didn't know what you were saying when you prayed over them. At least they have no memory of it. They're too little. But you know what you're praying when you hold those little babies and that they are they're totally made whole. That is the call and gift of God. And your challenge and mine is to find out, where do I fit into God's ministry and God's house? What is my part? And you may never hear the full picture. Mark Barclay is still blown away at everything God's using Mark Barclay to do. I mean, I'm doing things it never entered my head I would ever do. And it's not by evolution, it's by the hand of God. So you and I can't predict out here 2, 5, 10, 20 years of what we'll be doing and what we want to do. But what you can do is you can find out right now, where do I fit in? What has God called me to do? How do I strengthen this mighty army? What's my place in the helps ministry? And do it for now as God continues to reveal and unveil to you everything that he has. Any amens on that at all? Amen. God, I love this verse because it said it was the Holy Spirit who individually anointed us and individually chooses what gift flows through us. Now, I looked at verse 12 and it didn't have your name in there, that it's everybody but you. Now, you can search all day long for an exemption verse, but I don't think you're going to find one. I could save you a lot of Bible study time. To just encourage you, you're not going to find one verse that says the whole body, members in particular, God anointed them individually except for you. And there's a verse with your name. It says, I'll pick on Pastor Fisher, except God divided individually as he wills, except for Gary Fisher. He doesn't have to be concerned about it. There's no verse like that for you. That means we're all in this. That means God Himself has hand-selected you and has gifted you in here and wants to anoint you to fulfill that gift in your life, no matter what the assignment is. Can I have a better amen?
Amen.
So this isn't a living word thing. This isn't something Barclay made up. This is the word of the living God. This is how this works. And I tell you what, one of the reasons it works this way. Number one, just like in your body, you can't just start cutting parts out and throwing them away. If you want to have wholesome living, you got to keep every body part you possibly can until you take your last breath.
Amen.
You can survive by losing some. You know, they can cut your tonsils out or you can cut the tip of your finger off and survive. But you got to learn to live with that missing part. And the same is true. And that's why verse 12 goes into the body of Christ. We're members of that body. One body, we're all members.
Amen.
Amen. So you got to keep your nose, whether you like your nose or not. Amen. You got to keep those ears. You know, whether they're the favorite part of your head or not when you look in the mirror. Amen. So we got to keep you in the body of Christ. You got to keep me. Don't discard me. I'm not going to discard you. Because to be a mighty army and for you to be ready for judgment day, you got to flow in that gift that God put in you. That's the accountability that you and I will have. Not just whether or not you smoked dope or got mad and cussed once. That's going to come up on judgment day because you're the vessel of God. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost, not the other ghost, the Holy Ghost. So yeah, you're going to give an account to that. So would I. Everybody will. But when I read the verses, I see a greater accountability. Not so much what did you do wrong, but what did you do with the gift I gave you? What did you do with your talent? What did you do with this thing I put in you to serve and help? Did you do anything? That's why this said, I read it to you earlier during the offering. Whatever you have heard and seen and received, do it. Because that's the point of accountability. I could brag on a lot of people here today, honestly and humbly, because this is a mighty army. You have proven that. But I'm just going to pick on one of you today, and that's Craig Lang. I've watched Craig come in here from work and say, Pastor, I can't stay. I'm going to lead worship and we'll give God my best, but I got to go right back to work. I'm on duty tonight. You know, then he became a manager. And, you know, now he's the boss of the whole outfit. But I watched him over the years, our song leader, if you don't know Craig by name, I watched him over the years. And just the other day he come in, he said, man, I got to hurry, Pastor, but I won't cheat you or God. I'll do the worship, but if you need someone at the end of the service, call upon, because I got to go right back to work. And I thought about that when I was thinking about my message today. How many of you do the same thing? Now, we wish that you could just come and stay. I wish Craig had a deal where he didn't have that level of responsibility and he could just come and not only do worship, but enjoy the service. And many times, of course, he misses very little church. That's not my point. My point is he could opt out. He could have sent a text to one of the other four or five song leaders around here and said, got to work tonight, can't make it. Sorry, so-and-so, you do this. But instead, that's what I'm talking about, that spirit of the ministry of helps. Did you know Paul said that he was addicted to the ministry of the saints? Now, that word addiction, that's a pretty strong word, isn't it? When you're addicted to something, you got to have it. You just got to have it. There's nobody going to stop you from getting it. That's what addiction means. It's got some, you know, motivating control over you. Imagine a preacher saying, I've become addicted to the ministry of the saints. I got to see the saints do their ministry. I got to be around the believers as they serve our God. I got to watch them and I get encouraged when I see them serving God. You know, I'm short on preaching time today, so I won't mess with you too bad. But you know, it'd be really fleshly easy, to come to church. And instead of enjoying, we'll say, being we're picking on Craig, instead of enjoying Craig and the music team and the choir, you could come with a spirit of criticism. Well, why do they let him do? Why do they let her? Well, we doing that song. Well, how many times are we going to sing that song? My God, we sang that song 20 years ago. And instead of coming and being addicted to the ministry, instead of saying, man, look at Craig go, man. After all these years, he can still beller it out there. Huh? Sure. Instead of being excited to see another human serve our God with all of their heart. That's what the concentration point is supposed to be according to the verses. And if you can beat that flesh, carnality, you know, you beat your flesh. And Paul said he buffeted his. That doesn't mean at the buffet at the restaurant later. It means he put it under. Amen? Why? Because we should celebrate the presence of God. Don't pick on somebody and call them the pastor's pet. And well, you're just always, then we got all these little worldly phrases for someone that's supposed to be snuggling up to the leader for advantage. Stop it. Stop it right now if you're doing that. Don't do that. Celebrate that person. Hey, you found your ministry, man. I watched you like thank an usher. Hey, I saw you ushering today. I could tell you just weren't on duty passing a bucket. Man, I could tell you prayed about it and it was exciting to watch you pass that container and pray over your section. And that's the spirit of the ministry of helps. You know, Paul said, way after they forget what you preached, they'll remember the spirit of your mind. Many people who hear the preacher preach or the teacher teach will leave the church service and literally say to themselves or others, man, that was wonderful. That was encouraging. That changed my life. And you can ask them, well, what did they preach? Let me think a minute. What happened? Well, if you give them a minute, they'll come up with the points that really drove into their soul. Sure they will. But right off the get-go, because they're not here just to take notes, And for example, I'm not a purveyor of information, and you're not information collectors. You're here for the Spirit of Christ. And so that's why people say it's the spirit of the mind. That's why people say, you know, give me a minute, I'll tell you what he preached on. But I can tell you this, it did something to me, man. It either corrected me, inspired me. You know, not every church service was meant to be a happy-go-lucky pat me on the bottom, pastor, and make my a little bit better. Sometimes it's grab you by the hoof, get the elders to hold you down while I take an instrument and pop the pebble out of your hoof so you quit limping around in life. So that's why the Holy Spirit said through Paul to Timothy, the young pastor at Ephesus, he said, you know, you got to bring instructions in righteousness, instructions in living, reprove, the truths, rebuke, correct. So not every church service is let's laugh and feel really good. And I'll tell you, you're great even when you're losing. You don't worry about it. You're just hallelujah. No, sometimes the Holy Spirit says we got to stop doing that right now because he's our heavenly Father. He's our heavenly Father, and true fathers parent their children. And it isn't, yes, it's praise, but it isn't always. Right? So it's his will. Notice what we read? He divides or appoints individually the gifts that he wants you to have in me according to his will, not mine or yours, according to his will. So the best thing we can do in the ministry of helps and being a child of God and a Christian is to constantly be talking to Jesus. What is my gift? Now, I've been doing this a long time And I'm a multiple faceted guy by the choice of God. And but I'm going to tell you something. A lot of times you just do what God said. But even after all these years, yesterday I sat and said, Lord, is Mark Barclay really in your will? Am I just doing this now because we got a pattern and a team and an army and we know what to do? Is this what you want me to do? Do you want me to prune any of this? The more I study my Bible, the more I realize that God has a place for me and a place for you. Now, I want to tell you about it. I got to get this to you somehow. So if you call the number on the screen or jump on the internet, go to the bookstore, there's different ways, you know. I want you to get this. It's called the Ministry of Helps. Very few of us are called to the fivefold ministry: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, where we are actually the pulpiteers. But most, almost all of the rest of the body of Christ is called to the ministry of Jesus Christ, called the Ministry of Helps. Get this series and I'll prove it to you. I've been trying to inspire you through television and through the internet and streaming. You can stream every service, you know. And we're trying to get this message deep in your heart. We're working hard at it. And that's what our message was about today. I just want to help you. I want to help you. I'm called to help you find your place in the kingdom of God and have something to do for Jesus Christ besides sit in the church or, worse yet, just stay home. And so I call you blessed today. Get the Ministry of Helps and study it, and God will guide your path. We'll help you as well. I hope you come out and see us sometime at Living Word Church in Midland, Michigan. And until the next broadcast, I call you blessed and strong in Jesus' name.